Thank you again.
I'm gonna come up here to say something, which is just thank you. We should have moved this time to after the sermon. But your handprints are all over me in so many ways. And the ways that you have supported me as I've gone through seminary, the ways that you have just encouraged me, the ways that Jim mentored me and took time every week to meet with me while I was doing supervised ministry and to tear apart literally my sermon into little note cards so that we could reposition things and figure out and make me a better preacher. The ways you've invested in my life. I will forever be changed by this congregation. And I do believe that God has been with me all the way. I believe that God worked through Betsy and Dindy to get Anna into my class. And then she went into many, many, many more other classes with me. But I do believe that God is with us, is with me as I go forth, and is with you as you are here continuing in ministry. I believe God is faithful and good. And that's one of the reasons why I'm Presbyterian, is one of the tenets of our faith, is that belief in the sovereignty of God and the belief in God's providence. So thank you for all that you've done for me, for those handprints that will go with me, but not just those, but the ones that are on my heart, the ones that are in my very life that have formed me for ministry. Thank you. And now I think I'm supposed to preach, so good luck with that, because I can't even see this. Watch me pull up my glasses for the first time. Our first reading today is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come, is to come into the world." Our second reading comes from the letter of Paul to Philippians, the church at Philippi. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you,
because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with the knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if you didn't know before now, today you now know that my husband Dan is a United Methodist pastor. especially relevant today since we are being moved to, I don't know whether you call it Bergall or Bergall. I'll let you know once we get down there. But we're moving there tomorrow as he is being appointed to the church there in Bergall. And you know, every time that I tell people that I really, really, really hate moving, the process of packing up all the things, the process of saying goodbye to people that you love so dearly, people will look at me and they'll say, well, you married a United Methodist pastor. And I didn't. That's the little secret. He was a professor when I married him. He was a teacher. He was a historian. He specialized in Civil War history, and he really was an expert on all things maritime history. Worked for a little while in Kinston at the as an interpreter there at the CSS Neuse, continued to teach at Parrott Academy and then at the community college there. That's actually what I married. It wasn't until we had been married for several years when Dan had his call to ministry, struggled with it many nights, sleepless nights, because it is a hard thing to answer this call. But you know, even though he has now been in ministry for many, many years, over 20, he still loves history. He loves his ships and maritime history. He's even writing a book right now on two of the life-saving stations on the Outer Banks that were before the Coast Guard era. And so he would regularly teach me about ships and maritime history. I grew up in the mountains, so I knew nothing about those things. But he would tell me and teach me these things, especially when we used to run together, back when we coached cross country together. And we would run together, and he would tell me all these wonderful stories. Well, from him, I have learned about how before GPS and modern navigation, the sailors in the Northern Hemisphere would cross these vast spaces of ocean, and they would navigate by keeping their eyes fixed on the North Star, by making their calculations from the North Star. Not the brightest star in the sky. As a matter of fact, we were at the Outer Banks just recently, and we were out on the deck, and we were looking. You could actually see the entire Milky Way. It was stunning. If you had asked me to find the North Star, I could have never told you where it was. But Dan showed me how you could find it by first identifying the dippers and using those brighter stars to help you point to the North Star. Not the brightest, but it is the one that doesn't ever change. And so it was the one that they would use for when navigating. It was always the reference point to help you find where you are, to help you know where you were going. Storms would come, winds shift, currents change, seasons change. You might even get knocked off your course. But the North Star remained constant. Even today, ships use GPS, but you know, they even still, good captains, know how to use the North Star to navigate. Because you may have experienced this before, but technology sometimes fails. Storms, wind, seasons change. In much the same way, churches experience changes. Changes in leadership, changes, seasons of growth, seasons of challenge, celebrations, and farewells. But we are here to be reminded by the scripture that our hope is not found in a person. It's not found in a program. It's not found in a particular season. Our hope is found in God, who remains faithful yesterday, today, and forever. You know, today's readings, we have our wonderful story of provision as found in the feeding of the 5,000. And then we have this letter that Paul writes the church at Philippi. And you know, he begins with words of thanksgiving. He's grateful for his relationship with the church, thanking God for them and praying for them. He remembers their shared ministry, their shared struggles, their shared joys. And I really love this word, remember. It has these different parts, this word, this re, meaning intensive force to kind of double up. And then this Latin root, mindful, from memoir, mindful, to call to mind. But it's more than just recalling things. It is more than just a sentimental attitude toward the past, like I was having when I was going through boxes this week and seeing little pieces of clothing from my kids when they were little. It's more than just that. For when we read in the Old Testament, we see over and over people of faith are called to remember the things that God has done for them, especially in challenging times. Do you know, I was fascinated to learn as I studied this week that early Christians even referred to being lost in the world as having amnesia, that one had forgotten to remember all that God had done for them. And throughout the ages, being a believer has a part of that is an act of memory. You have all heard when we say things like, remember your baptism. Well, that is actually not a literal remembrance, because I don't know if you're like me, but mine was when I was about 3 months old. And I don't actually remember that as far as it being a piece of my memory, but I remember that God was active in my baptism and I have been claimed and given a new name. Remembering what God has done in and through us through our baptism. We're also called to remember what God has done for us in the past, especially God's constancy, even in times when we couldn't see it at the time. You know, those times that when you look back on it years later, you can see how God guided your path, perhaps through putting you in a class that you didn't want to be in. But in some way, you can see God's guidance and provision even through challenging times. We're also challenged to remember the gifts that God has given to each one of us, the people that God has placed in our lives, the life itself that God gives us, provision and providence for each and every day, and most of all, the salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ. Remembering that throughout the Bible, God calls people to partnership in faith. Paul is reminding them and using this word. It's a Greek word, koinonia, and it's translated here in our translation as partnership, but it really is a word that has more weight than just partnership, not a business partnership. Sometimes different translations will translate it as fellowship, but in our current culture, that word has taken on a different weight as well. It usually indicates a gathering with no work, no worship, no business, more just fun, fellowship. But this word is where everything is connected. It is a deep partnership that is embedded into our lives. We share in communion with one another. We are more than just friends, more than just family. We are God's good work. And part of being connected is to remember what God has done. In this community, remember what God has done for over 60 years of ministry. The baptisms that have occurred at this font, the confirmations that have happened, the weddings and graduations, The funerals.
The times when this group, this Koinonia, has gathered together in mission projects, or gathered together and joined their voices in worship services, and gathered and brought wonderful food, can't wait to see what's in there, in fellowship meals, gathered and taught and learned from each other in Bible study. Those times when this congregation has joined in rejoicing with one another, and also times we have joined in crying with one another. In remembering these things, we are not merely remembering what we have accomplished. We are remembering what God has done here in this place. And we give thanks for God's faithfulness throughout the ages. And Paul reminds the Philippians and us that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You know, even sailors, when they were sailing, Dan shared with me that they would always be moving forward. We should always be moving forward, looking to where God is calling us. But even the sailors would look behind to see how far they had traveled, to know where they were at that time. The journey itself testified to faithful navigation. The journey for us testifies to the faithfulness of this congregation. For us, looking back reveals that God has been with us and guiding us all along, even through challenging times and also good times. But Paul, when he talks, does not leave the community there looking backwards, wallowing in the past, because he immediately reminds them of the present. I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, all in the present tense. Paul is writing to this beloved congregation in a time that for them is filled with uncertainty. Perhaps they're not sure about the future. They're in challenging times. They're striving to live faithful lives. But Paul is saying that even while he's separated from them, he knows that Christ is still at work with them, in them, and through them. And that even in his present circumstances, which are challenging, as Paul is imprisoned and awaiting trial, he is still connected to them through the koinonia, the fellowship, the deep communion. And this relationship is rooted in something deeper than physical presence. This relationship is rooted in the love and grace of Christ Jesus. You know, a few years ago, we had the joy of fishing. We've only been able to do this once, but we fished in the Gulf Stream. And as we traveled out, which is a long journey, it's a long way out, I suddenly realized that I could no longer see any land. I knew it was going to happen, but it was really quite disconcerting. I felt so small on this great big ocean. I felt so thankful that our captain knew what he was doing, knew the waters well, had GPS, but also had been doing this for 30 years, and so could have done it without GPS. You know, years ago in that middle of a voyage, the sailors could frequently not see their destination. Perhaps, most of the time, could not even see where they came from. But they could only determine their next step by looking to the North Star, by trusting in its steadfastness and knowing that it would not lead them astray. Friends, today Paul is reminding us that faithfulness does not require seeing the entire future. Sometimes it doesn't even require knowing exactly what happened in the past. It only requires trusting the one who guides us this day. For we are experiencing what sometimes is called a liminal time. This time between two places, things are changing, both for Trinity and for me and my family. We don't completely see what is ahead for us, but what we do see is that Christ is here, remains the head of the church, that we are God's good work and that God will not abandon us, that the Holy Spirit remains active in the midst of all times of our lives, even times of change, and that God's mission continues. We are not called to know the future, but to know the one who holds the future. Because Paul tells them, the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion. Confidence not just in them, not in his leadership, but in God and God's promise. One of the tenets of the Reformed faith of the PCUSA is the priesthood of all believers. A belief that everyone, each and every one of us, is equally called and equipped to do God's work and to minister to God's people. Different gifts are given to different people and believers as all are needed. Gifts of administration, gifts of creativity, of vision, of practical thinking, of hospitality, of generosity, of prophetic thinking, of courage, of love. We can be confident in the future, that the future, whatever it brings, belongs to God. And God will be faithful to walk with us always. The truth is, God is not finished with this congregation. There is good work to be done. And God has given gifts to this congregation to enable this good work to be done. To enable us to have more baptisms, to have more weddings and confirmations and graduations and funerals, new mission projects, worship services, fellowship meals, Bible studies, times when the congregation will rejoice together, times when the congregation will cry together, times when we will be together to love and support one another, trusting that if we keep oriented toward God, that we will be able to see the way before us, that we will be able to know God's calling on our life, that we will be able to know all that God is calling us to do. But Paul also does not leave them there. Paul goes on to say, and this is my prayer. Paul prays for love. For this congregation that he loves, he does the most powerful thing that he can do. He prays for them. He prays that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Not merely love as affection, but Christ-like love. Not just love that is sentimental and easy, but love that is true and deep. Not love that shrinks from truth-telling or tough engagement, discerning to find God's call for our life. Love that is joined to knowing and understanding Christ. Love that is probing and discerning. Love that makes choices that count. And love that is demonstrated and shown through the fruits of the Spirit. And friends, this is my prayer for you, that this congregation will continue to grow in love, that you will discern God's calling, that you will bear fruit for God's kingdom, that you will always keep your eyes fixed on Christ, who is our North Star. Things change. Just for the ships, they change. The crews may change. The destination may change. God does not change. And God's love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. And it is our guiding star. For whatever season we find ourselves, a season of ease, a season of dis-ease, a season of joy, a season of sorrow, a journey to unknown places, or a journey in a place that we know, that God is with us no matter where we find ourselves, and that we are joined together in Christ. As I wrote this sermon this week, I was reminded of a song that Gabby sang last fall. Is this, I think it was my sermon title. Yes, The Goodness of God. And so I printed out the lyrics, which I can't find right now. So I'm going to see if I can remember them because I wanted to share them with you. Starts off with, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fadeth. In all my days, you are strong like no other. You loved me as a father. You loved me as a friend. In all my days, you are faithful. Every day, because every way you have been faithful. Every way you have been so, so good. With everything that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Friends, I pray as you go forth that you will remember that God goes with you wherever you are. That even in moments that we can't feel God's presence, God is with us, carrying us, loving us, being with us in all things. And that you will sing each and every day, remembering all that God has done for us in the past, remembering that God is with us in the present, and that God will be with us in the future, that we will be able to sing with our very lives of the goodness of God. And so I now invite you to stand while we join our voices together in singing.